Newton Media Group, a family of creative services, presents the Voice Over Work podcast. On the podcast today, we take a little deeper look into a book introduced in a previous podcast with a chapter-by-chapter look at how to find yourself, self-discovery, self-awareness, and life design for maximum fulfillment, written by Nick Trenton, narrated by Russell Newton. Introduction. It's a tale as old as time. Someone reaches middle age, and suddenly, they're in crisis. They seem to wake up one morning and look at everything with fresh eyes. It's as though the party's over and the lights in the club have been turned on, and they're seeing everything and everyone around them in a whole new, frightening light. A question forms in their minds. Who am I, really? They notice with alarm that the question is hard to answer. They also notice a creeping sense of dread, a feeling that they feel utterly lost where they are. All at once, they feel rudderless. What are they really doing in life? And what is it that they actually want? Nothing can be as disorienting as realizing that you don't really know. The oracle at Delphi famously had the words inscribed with, "Know thyself." It sounds nice, but if you've picked up this book, chances are, you have no idea what knowing yourself actually looks like or how to do it. There comes a point in many people's lives when they feel quite keenly that they have absolutely no idea who they are. Whether the sensation creeps up on them slowly or it comes all at once after a major life event, it feels the same, like you're completely adrift in life and cannot begin to answer the question, who am I and what do I really want out of this life? These can be heavy questions, no doubt. Before we start this book, however, there's one thing you should know. Questioning who you are is 100% normal. Seriously. Though it can feel like a major crisis to suddenly feel like a stranger to yourself, realize that confusion on this question is a completely human response to living in a, frankly, crazy world. Chapter 1. Finding Your Values. If you found yourself asking the question, who am I? You might also have been asking simultaneously, what should I do? Our lack of genuine identity can show itself in an inability to make decisions, to choose a path, to set a goal, or to say what we want. In other words, what we do is a reflection of who we are. If we have a problem with one, we usually have a problem with the other. So this is where we'll begin. If you're unsure of how to act, you're also probably a little unsure of who you are. Knowing how best to act is a question of knowing what kind of person you are. If you're someone who prioritizes family and social connection above anything else, for example, you don't need to think too hard about the dilemma of working late nights at the office versus spending quality time with your young children. Your identity informs your choices. In fact, how we respond to life's dilemmas, choices, and difficulties says a lot about the strength of our own values. We are as we do, and we do according to what we value. Inner values and principles are like a personal manifesto that tells us how to act in any situation. This is our own code of ethics that we've devised for ourselves, and it acts like a guiding light even when, or maybe particularly when the path is unclear. How shall we define values? A value is a judgment that makes claims about the priorities we hold in life. They are principles, rules, or beliefs that give meaning to our lives. They are what stop life from feeling empty and meaningless, because they are inherently about meaning. It's whenever you say, thing A is more important and valuable than... 2. The Big Five Personality Traits. Chances are at some point in your life you've taken a personality, career aptitude, or relationship test to learn more about yourself. The quest to find out what makes human beings tick is as universal as the desire to understand why. What makes some people behave, think, and feel certain ways and not others? Why do humans engage in habitual patterns, even when those could be to their detriment? The answer may lie in the Big Five personality traits a theory that dissects the human psyche into five broad characteristics. These five simple factors could determine the very complex question you've been chasing: what makes you, you? It's a theory that dates back to 1949 in research published by D.W. Fisk. Since then, it's been gaining popularity and has been written about by the likes of Norman, 1967, Smith, 1967, Goldberg, 1981, and McCrae and Costa, 1987. Even though the Myers-Briggs test is one you're more likely to have heard of, the Big Five model is the most widely accepted personality theory in the scientific community today. Instead of evaluating you as a whole, this is one of the first personality theories to break you down into five traits: openness to experience, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. While many personality theories place you on either side of a binary, they say you're either an extrovert or an introvert, the Big Five model presents a spectrum between these five qualities and their opposites. These opposites are closed to experience, spontaneous, introversion, disagree. Chapter 3, The Stories We Create. So far, we've looked at a few different ways to tackle the eternal question, who am I? First, we explored all the ways in which our true self comes down to the values we not only hold but express in the world. Then, we looked at this abstract and complicated thing called the personality and examined one of the most popular personality theories to find that our self might be more or less the sum of various characteristics and traits. Now, we'll look at the equation from yet another perspective, i.e., that our self is the result of our ongoing inner narratives. In this chapter, the focus is geared toward gaining insight about ourselves based on stories we might tell ourselves and what those stories might mean. Humans are storytellers and meaning makers. That chatter inside your head that's narrating your life as you live it? That's not reality. That's a story. Your belief that you're this or that kind of person? Also a story. Perhaps it's a story you learned and internalized from someone else. Or perhaps it's a story you made up in response to your life experience. But we can imagine that stories and narratives are like little stitches of meaning we use to pull together the events in our lives, our hopes, fears, blind spots, and so on. The way in which we construct or express our identities through story has been a favorite theme for psychologists throughout the years. In narrative therapy, for instance, we can use stories to shape and guide our experience and, figuratively, tell ourselves through story. But we can use the same tools to gain deeper insight into ourselves. We can use story to find out who we really are. The overall goal here is to draw four self-awareness questions. Famous Greek philosopher Aristotle, 384 to 322 BC, stated, "Knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom." And founding father of the United States of America, Benjamin Franklin, couldn't have said it better. There are three things extremely hard: steel, a diamond, and to know one's self. The comparison of self-awareness to that of other invincible things factors just how important it was to philosophers in history. Self-awareness is one of the most sought-after feelings of human existence. Everyone wants to be sure of themselves and know who they are and what they represent. It's not that we're happier with that knowledge. The knowledge itself is neutral. But it's what that knowledge represents that makes us want it. When we're self-aware, we feel that we're living our best selves, correcting our errors, and seizing our full potential. One of those is probably the reason you picked up this book in the first place. Psychologists and scientists also believe in the need for self-awareness. They view this consciousness as a direct relation to some of the most essential states of being. These states of being are greater happiness, less inner conflict, and more confidence in decision-making. Greater happiness. Greater happiness is not a physical thing that can be defined. Every person has his or her own version of what happiness looks or feels like, but regardless of what it is to each person, the act of achieving it comes from being more self-aware because you know what you want. People are able to express themselves more freely without judgment. Happiness can look very different to everyone, so understanding oneself allows them to find his or her own version. Chapter 5, Unconscious Upbringings. In the previous chapters, we've considered identity, personality, and self as more or less contained and isolated phenomena, but of course, no man is an island. To answer the question of who you are, we can look at another related question: where did you come from? This chapter works to discuss how people's upbringing affect and have direct influence to their personalities, especially in the subconscious manner. Not all of this may be true, but it's safe to say that there's a plethora of research that has yielded some very interesting theories. These tell researchers that it's worth looking into people's childhoods to find clues as to why people act the way they do. If you want to gain a deeper awareness of who you are as a person, you can gain plenty of insight by examining the home in which you were raised. As you read on about certain theories that focus on family dynamics and early childhood experiences, you might wonder, does our upbringing establish our false self, or does it truly shape who we are on a deeper level? This is a difficult question to answer, but by the end of the chapter, you'll hopefully agree that, whichever it is, the path of self-discovery must include a trip down memory lane to examine our early family history. Alfred Adler Birth Order Theory. One theory that doesn't have much scientific validation to back it up is the Alfred Adler Birth Order Theory. This proposed theory came from Alfred Adler, 1870 to 1937, as he studied the effect that birth order had on people's personality. By definition, birth order was the order of when a child was born. Chapter 6, Myers, Briggs, and Kiersey. We'll end our book on one final personality theory that's become popular in recent years. Many people take tests in the hope of achieving a certain result. Especially with the tests that follow, many mistakenly assume that one type is better than another, or are secretly proud that they have scored as one of the rarer types. But as you read on, bear in mind that doing personality tests is a way to discover what you already are. It's tempting to get very attached to the concept of this or that personality type, but it's worth remembering that these subtypes are generalizations, and they are necessarily simplified. At the end of the day, we are all individuals. These tests can be a great starting point for your journey into self-discovery, but they're certainly not the end point. If you disagree with an outcome, that's completely fine. You're not trying to fit yourself to the test. What's important is that these tests are used as tools to help you gain a deeper and more genuine understanding of who you are. There are a lot of different personality tests out there. This chapter will explore the Myers-Briggs Type Indicator, MBTI, as well as the subsequent Kiersey temperaments. These temperaments were a result of the MBTI to help organize it better and create more relatable classifications and categories. The MBTI has also been one of the most popular ones for people to use when conceiving of personality. It's highly doubtful that people haven't heard of this test, as many have taken various forms of it without even knowing. Overall, the test is based on four very distinct dichotomies, which you can imagine as simply being traits. People have compared the MBTI as one that purely... This has been How to Find Yourself, Self-Discovery, Self-Awareness, and Life Design for Maximum Fulfillment, written by Nick Trenton, narrated by Russell Newton. Copyright 2021 by Nick Trenton. Production copyright by Nick Trenton.
Amazon.com has more information regarding the author and this book.
With an eclectic collection of water cooler knowledge, inspirational stories, and motivational thoughts from some of the newest audiobooks on the market, this has been the Voice Overwork Podcast, brought to you by Newton Media Group, a family of creative services.